Hey, it's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man here, and I'm swinging by the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, it's Jesse Rass here, and you've made the great escape into comics by jumping inside the pull bag today.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello everyone, TFG and Mike here from the Geekcast Radio Network. You are inside the pull bag. This is episode 562, and the only reason why you're hearing my voice before the episode is because this episode, along with 563, was supposed to be out months ago, but I don't know, things just kind of happened and did whatever. In this episode, you're going to hear myself and JT from Saskatoon discuss Mary Jane and Black Cat Dark Web. So that's what's coming up here inside the pull bag. I will be giving you a plan for what the pullbag will be doing at the end of 2024 and almost all of 2025, probably at the beginning of episode 563 or 564. For now, though, Mary Jane and Black Cat Dark Web coming up next here inside the pullbag, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. Hello and welcome to the pullbag. This is episode 562. We have got 28 episodes to go until we hit something. I don't know. 90 or 700 or 600 or whatever the hell it is. I don't freaking know. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike, and returning from the Batcave is JT from Saskatoon.
How's it going? Jesus, it's dark in here.
Yeah, no, right? It's great.
Alfred hasn't cleared. Oh, wait, Alfred's dead.
Hey. Wait, no. Is he really?
Yeah, it was a whole thing, and that's a whole thing. We'll have to talk about that some other day.
Yeah, when we're not in the other universe, which is we're in Marvel today, folks. And
616.
Is it really? I couldn't tell.
But so, comic 616, not movie 616.
Is it? This is the first Marvel book I've read in, like, forever.
A long time. Yeah.
And the only reason why we're reading this, and I blame slash thank him, but I mostly blame him, this is all J. Scott Campbell's fault. Him and his exquisite covers of Black Cat and Mary Jane, it's like, ooh, cover, yay.
And Mike's like, ooh, pretty.
Yeah, and then I read the story and I'm like, oh, this again. And it's not because we're going to get into it, and JT's going to give me more so than anybody else a little back history here in a minute. But it's not so much about, it has nothing to do with the characters of Black Cat and Mary Jane that I find this story to be just, ugh. It's what the story is. And I want to run down the creative really quickly. First of all, the writing. Jed MacKay. I don't think I've ever read anything by Jed MacKay to this point in the almost 12 years of the pull bag. It's not a name I remember. Oh, art. Good.
I'm just looking at his wiki on one of the fandom Wikipedia sites, which I find are a whole lot more thorough than
actual Wikipedia.
Yeah. Big Daddy. Yeah. Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. From just looking at the covers here, he's worked in the last few years. Definitely looks like he was doing a lot of X-Men work during the Krakoan age, which was you know, what they call the last 5 years worth of X-Men, where all the mutants are living on the island that lives as a man.
Yep.
And that, so he's done some good stuff.
He didn't do House and Powers of X, did he? No, that was
Hickman.
That was Hickman. Yeah, I almost scared myself.
Yeah. See, no, that was all Hickman, but he worked. Yeah. He was one of the many creators that worked on, you know, X-Men the last few years before the current From the Ashes reboot, quote unquote. But yeah, this comic came out, you know, during the Krakoan Age. The and the current run of Spider-Man. So if you haven't read X-Men the last few years, about, I think it's about 6 years ago at this point, they rebooted the entirety of the X-Men line in the Marvel comics by, there's a bit of a time gap, and then there's the Krakoa, the island that lives as a man, which is a classic Marvel thing. That's was involved in Giant Size X-Men number one, where the new international X-Men went to rescue the OG team. And all the mutants on Earth live there, all the bad guys, all the villains. They've got their own society, their own language. They're struggling to get recognized by the world. And some of the people who weren't included in that was Madeline Pryor, who is the clone of Jean Grey created by Mr. Sinister, was part of the Inferno event back in the 80s. Yep. And her current lover, or not current lover, sorry. And then there's Spider-Man. And the current run of Spider-Man started off with Peter and Mary Jane getting sucked into this alternate dimension through this villain that no one had remembered since the early days of the Dan Slott run, when they host One More Day. Mm-hmm. And they get sucked in, this guy with this godlike powers trying to sacrifice MJ to, you know, complete the ritual. And Peter figures out a way to get back to Earth. But at the last second, Mary Jane pushes him through and says, look, it's more important. You go back, get help, and it'll be all good. But time moves differently. So by the time Peter gets back, who in his effort to get back has alienated the entirety of the Marvel superhero community, and it would take too long to explain how, but, you know, once again, Spider-Man's on the out with everybody because Spider-Man just can't be happy. No. He gets back. He finds Mary Jane. She's fallen in love with this dude named Paul, and they have two kids.
Oh, my God.
I don't believe she actually gave birth. Again, that's something that would take too long to explain. But they get back to Earth.
I mean, we could explain it fairly easily. Two people get together.
I mean, like, I don't think they actually have kids, and these kids were just found there because there's a bunch of other people. It's a whole, it's like an alternate Earth that they got sucked into. It's just, okay, it's a whole thing. So Peter and Mary Jane broke up. And at the end of the last run of Spider-Man comics, there was this thing called the Beyond Corporation, which is like LexCorp on crack, mm-hmm, in that they're trying to control all this stuff involving supervillains and superheroes, to the point that they hire Ben Reilly, Peter's clone, who, mm-hmm, I don't remember how, but he should have died during the clone conspiracy storyline, but didn't. They hire him, and they secure the copyright to Spider-Man, which is a thing in the comics, because when during Superior Spider-Man, Otto trademarked Spider-Man and the costume and a whole bunch of stuff. So they buy that copyright. Ben gets this decent new costume. It's similar to the one he wore when he took over during the Clone Saga. And he goes and lawyers go after Peter, and Ben goes after Peter, and everyone goes after Peter, and Miles is like, look, we own the copyright, cease and desist. And by the end of that, Beyond is revealed to be like evil. Big shock. This is my shocked face. And they're using this, they call it a psychoactive goo, to destroy their skyscraper headquarters. And Ben is swallowed up by this stuff, and it turns out he survived, and he gets these, he's called Chasm now because he's got this chasm in his brain, because at the end of it they were mind wiping him after like every mission to make sure he doesn't like lose his shit, and this caused his mind to fracture, and he was trying to use this device to suck out Peter's memories and put them in his head, because, you know, I deserve blah blah blah, I'm not a real boy. And when he comes back as Chasm, he's got this 90s AF, well, it's like purple and black and this teal, like teal green highlights, kind of Tron lines. And he's still got like spider strength and speed and stick to walls. But now his, because of the goo, his, when he feels stuff with his spider sense, he can generate essentially hard light constructs, like a Green Lantern of sorts. That's the best way I can describe it. And the dark web is him hooking up with Madeline Pryor, who isn't considered a real person under the laws of Krakoa. Like, you know, they don't allow psychics, they don't allow AI, and they don't allow clones. So she's, you know, wants to burn the world down. And then Ben's a clone who doesn't feel like a real boy, so he wants to burn the world down. They're like, hey, let's burn the world down together. That's the main thrust of the dark web crossover between Spider-Man and X-Men comics.
Okay.
Mary Jane and Black Cat dark web is tied in. I have to do my own research. I do have the research done already, by the way. I have to look at my research. That there's a way to read all the individual issues and include Mary Jane and Black Cat, but it is essentially tangential. It's like every tie-in miniseries to 2015 Secret Wars, you can literally not read any of those and it doesn't affect the story. Like this. Like it, a lot of those miniseries are very entertaining, I found, but this comic, while tied into Dark Web, doesn't affect a whole lot of the main story. It's essentially its own thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So I knew nothing, because again, folks, I haven't been in the Marvel camp in a long ass time. I think the last time we did a Marvelous March here inside the Pullbag was 2015, and it was none of anything that you just mentioned. It was like, I don't know, what did we do that month? We did 2015, we did something with the Punisher, we did something with Spider-Man, something else. Maybe we went back to like Spider-Man Blue or something. I don't remember. But yeah, it's been about
forever.
7, 8, 9, 10 years, however the hell long it's been. And I looked at this, and again, what I looked at first and foremost was the covers, because when J. Scott Campbell makes an announcement, folks, you listen to the man. You look at his art, and you're like, ooh, okay,
you
good.
You sit up and pay attention.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You stand and salute. And I thought this was just a one-off story. I didn't realize it was tied into 50 years in the last 10 years of stuff. Oh, God.
Well, and this is something coming back from that the previous volume of Spider-Man. I forget what volume number they're on now, probably like 14 or something, the way Marvel restarts. But I do like how you look at a lot of Marvel comics. They have it's issue 15, and then they have the LGY legacy number, which is like Spider-Man just celebrated, I think, 950 issues.
Mm.
With its last one. But during that last volume of Spider-Man, during the Spider-Man Beyond arc, because, you know, the Beyond Corporation, Mary Jane and Felicia became besties. Because Peter, in one part of the story, I forget which villain it was, it might have been the UFOs or something, Peter got the snot kicked out of him. And he's laid up in the hospital, and then he's got to retrain because he's kind of lost his mojo, just his confidence. And so Mary Jane gets Black Cat and Captain America to, you know, whip Peter into shape, and they just stayed in contact. You know, they go for brunch and stuff like that. And as we start this story, like I've got the physical trade.
Yeah, and I've got the digital.
Well, sorry, did I? I've got the digital trade, not the physical trade. Oh. But the cover is, like Mike said, this sweet J. Scott Campbell art. You know, one thing I forgot to mention, that, and this was established previous to this crossover, Mary Jane has superpowers now. She's got this little kind of Power Rangers-esque doohickey on her left hand that she spins it like it's this roulette tile thing that Paul made. Paul is a dick. We don't like Paul.
No.
You got in the way of one of the best couples. Damn you, Joe Quesada, for putting this into writers' heads.
Stupid quesadilla. And for the record, folks, I prefer Spider-Man with Black Cat, but that's just me.
That's cool. I mean, I know some guys that prefer Batman with, like, you know, Vicky Vale or Silver St. Cloud, but, you know, I think he goes best with Selena. But no, so Paul's a scientist, and he's from that alternate Earth, but he came over here, and I think the Paul over here is dead, whatever. He creates this doohickey that when she spent it, it randomly gives her powers.
But so, they are the weirdest powers ever.
And I don't disagree, but it's actually kind of it's a Marvel take on a very classic DC trope. Mary Jane has essentially become Marvel's version of Dial H for Hero.
Yeah,
whereas the DC had this actual phone dial looking device that, kid Robbie something in the classic 60 comics that would dial H-E-R, these symbols he translates, it had a H-E-R-O, and he becomes some random superhero. Like one time he actually became Plastic Man, and they brought that back in the 80s, and they did some really trippy reinvention of it in the early aughts with just Dial H, it was called. And yeah, so Mary Jane's got Dial H for Hero Marvel Edition.
I don't know. So yeah. Really quickly, before we continue here, Vincenzo Carato on the art, along with Michael Dowling. Michael Dowling did the art for Mask of Dr. Doom. The color artist on the book is Brian Reber, and the letterer is VC's Ariana Mayer. Obviously, multiple covers by J. Scott Campbell. Urzula Mose did a cover. And a bunch of other people did covers. Dark Web. We've got 5 issues for Dark Web, and then we've got the Mask of Dr. Doom, which, like, why couldn't you have just said that was the 6th issue? Like, okay, so we get the covers to each one as we go through here. So we get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. But when we get down to Mask of Dr. Doom, it's just like the Mask of Dr. Doom. There is no...
Well, it was a backup in...
Oh, okay. That's why.
Issues. Yeah.
Okay. That's why.
And Marvel's kind of brought that back, which I think is kind of cool that they've brought back, sometimes in not always consequential, mostly inconsequential stories like this. And it's, when we get to it, we'll get to, but it's Felicia pulling an Ocean's 11 on the Monarch of Latveria.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to say straight up throughout all of this, I love the art. I love the colors. I love the way the characters are drawn, designed, colored, all that. I love the backgrounds. I have no issue with any of the art whatsoever. It's just the writing. And it's not the writing to the point of that it's written badly. It's just, oh God, another plot in hell. Another Spider-Man comic in hell.
Limbo.
Whatever.
It's entirely different.
Whatever. Point is,
it's hell adjacent.
It's the second level of hell, except it's upstairs, not downstairs.
So the Dark Web is in full effect as we start the story here, and there have been reports of Chasm, Ben Reilly, seen tooling around town with a redheaded accomplice. And Felicia puts 1 in 5 together and gets 8.
Yep.
And she's hightailing it across town. I do love some of the art. Essentially, the demons from Limbo have infected New York City, and there are mimics, like D&D-style mimics. Like Mary Jane. Felicia's being chased through the skyline by drooling dagger teeth newspapers and a spider like stoplight.
Yep.
And she's going to check on Mary Jane because she's like, well, redhead, craziness in NYC.
Mm-hmm.
Ben.
It's MJ.
Yeah. Where is she? Where is that ginger? Just, oh.
Yep.
I guarantee you that's the thought process that went through Felicia's head. And she gets there and Mary Jane is putting, it's like the cast of the Brave Little Toaster by way of The Exorcist, because all these appliances are attacking Mary Jane and her family. And Mary Jane's got this energy pouring off of her, and I guess it's like super strength or something.
Something.
And yeah, and then she gets swallowed up by a water tower. I saw the water and I was like, okay, Hydra Man decides to get his revenge right now.
Sure. Dude, okay, so we're not there yet, but later in this issue, in this first issue, when she spins her little roulette bullshit, and she
her
gets
morpher.
Oh god, you're not wrong. and she gets green pudding. My first thought was, turn it blue, make it water, and make it a Hydro Man reference, because that would have worked. But not every spin, yeah. You can win.
Yeah, and she actually says that too. But yeah, she gets taken up by the water tower, and it's not like she just spins it. Like they illustrate here very clearly that she has to kind of have to feel it, because the her morpher essentially is just constantly. It's like a morpher, but it's also like the Omnitrix in Ben 10, where it's just constantly scanning for superhero energy, and it kind of replicates stuff from the city or something like that. But she gets flame powers and a flame sword, so essentially Archangel powers. And she kind of has to give Felicia a lowdown on what that was, and then Felicia's given her the lowdown on, you know, the demonic plague attacking New York City. And they go to, well, they're going to find Peter and Ben, but then they get sucked through a portal. And I do like when they get sucked through the portal, they got like these weird green balls and webs, which is very reminiscent of classic Steve Ditko, Doctor Strange. I thought that was a very cool visual nod.
Yes.
That the artist did.
Yes. And they get sucked into limbo.
Yeah. And then Mary Jane, you know, she gets a power, which isn't the best power.
Okay, but I gotta take over here, because when she gets the power and she tells Felicia, it's like slots every time. Okay, so we get that scene, and then the next part of the scene is, hey, Earth girls, in a minute! I'm like, oh yeah, I can hear both the voice actresses from 94. So I can hear both,
That moment made me think of... a moment from a Dragon Ball Z abridged episode by Team Four Star, where what was it? Oh no, it was Team Four Star, but it was some of the side episodes where Cell is beating up like the X-Men and One Punch Man and such like that, and it's basically he's going up against Deadpool, and Deadpool's on the phone with Wolverine, and he's like, I'm being very patient. I'm being very annoyed right now. And that's just what I saw when they're like, hey, Earth girls. And then putting Lass in the Black Cat. I like how Mary Jane just like goosh, and it just drowning these demons in.
Yep.
I'm guessing lime flavored pudding.
I don't
or
know.
Pistachio pudding. Oh. No, it's pistachio pudding. Put
okay.
Money on it.
Okay.
And they're like they're rescued, quote unquote, by Belasco, who is the basically demonic lord devil. He's the demonic lord of Limbo, who, although I dig his design here, because normally he's just looks like, you know, this dude with pink skin, horns, and Spock ears in some fancy dress, but here he's drawn as like everything below the neck, it's just exposed muscle.
Yep.
Kind of like how they draw Lord Zedd in the Power Rangers comics. And apparently that's what he was supposed to be in the show, but I never thought that. I thought he just had red skin, not that that's supposed to be raw, exposed muscle. So
before we get to issue two here, as this ends issue one, as with all most Marvel and DC comics, when they do trades, they will do the one variant cover to the issue you're ending before they go on to the next one. I love the Sabrina like thing with MJ.
Oh yeah, Peach.
I love that cover. Yes,
I am a huge fan of hers. She did this it's kind of a trilogy of kind of a what if version of Psylocke in Japan. It's all done in this very light, there's no hard lines, very light watercolored style. And she is currently the head creator on the new Ultimate X-Men comic that Marvel's putting out in the revamped Ultimate Universe.
Cool.
So it's absolutely beautiful. And then we get the second Jake Scott Campbell arc where they're like, I just like the, oh my god. that the pose they got, and Felicia was like, oh, shit. And Mary Jane is like, I can't even. And we get into it. And I like how Belasco, just how the words he ended the last, you know, a thief I require, and Belasco gets whatever it is that Belasco requires. Now, I'm not necessarily saying he is suave. He's sometimes, most of the time, kind of a putz. But I do like it when villains pimp onto the scene like that and do have a killer line. And that was a killer line. Then we go to, well, Lavish for Limbo Spread. And I love the design on the cycloptic server. You know, he's got his little loincloth apron and a little bow tie on. And you've got what looks like the eyeball stew from Temple of Doom and a bunch of other probably not fit for human consumption foods. And he says, you know, I'll send you back to Earth, but he needs Felicia to steal a sword. Now, it's the Soul Sword. It's a, it's been around since, you know, it was really, I believe, introduced in New Mutants, where Magic, you know, Ileana Rasputin was a major character there. She took it and got the demonic version of her magic persona. And it's been a part of Marvel, specifically X-Men, for a long time. So that's the sword that Belasco wants. And the, basically says, you know, it's his rule over Limbo as part of the Dark Web crossover has been usurped by Madeline Pryor, who the Goblin Queen, who at this point, she's got legitimate demonic power and not just the copied psychic powers that Mr. Sinister originally gave her.
Gotcha.
And so he sends them to the Screaming Tower, which sounds like so D&D. Like, it's so D&D it hurts. It's D&D AF. Just looking at it, it's like a bunch of broken stack blocks, this weird...
It's like somebody had an issue with putting the Legos together.
It's like H.R. Geiger made a Lego set.
Oh God, that or Lincoln Log. Oh my God, it's Lincoln Logs that aren't fitting together. Holy crap. Yeah, this
Lincoln Logs, the demonic Lincoln Logs.
There you go.
Yeah. So sends them in, and he tells them like what he's done to try and, you know, take it back. And I see, you see like these like biker babe looking angels with black wings and leather. And Hydra, because it's always Hydra.
It's always Hydra.
And Sim, who looks like a Brooklyn-born demon. Like, he's always just got his demonic BVDs and this leather vest. And he's kind of a character I've kind of always been a fan about. Because he's not necessarily evil. Like, he's definitely evil, but he can be worked with. You know?
Yeah, he's evil, but yeah, like you said, he can be bargained with. He can be talked to. He's
not completely effed up.
He's essentially, I'm going to make another one, just like I said earlier, I'm going to make another Sabrina. He's essentially the Purple Salem of this universe is what he is. I mean, you know, even though he's not a cat.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we end on Sim here, and I get that most of the story from here on out, and starting with issue two here, goes through.
It's a demonic limbo. Heist.
Yeah, no, it's a demonic heist. That's fine. But like, my issue is like, I really want to see Mary Jane driving a taxi cab and Black Cat on that. Like, I want the covers. That's what I want.
I want. Unfortunately, Mike, we never get what we truly want.
I know.
We do, however, get the Screaming Tower, and now with eyeballs.
Yeah, I could do without the eyeballs. I had a problem as a child with eyeball soup in kindergarten, and I've never... Nope.
Yeah, I just like... I just wish they would have said something like, do you get the feeling like we're being watched?
Watched. Yeah.
Because... Yeah, they go, and now Mary Jane's like, I like, oh, Felicia's in love. Come on, Dish. Yes, you're in the middle of a fucking demonic kidnapping. And you'd rather get the the deets on Felicia's personal life.
I like that though, because it breaks up, and I'm gonna say it as hell, because Limbo is something you do under a stick. Like, anyway, Limbo to me is where oh God, what's his stupid name?
You find Hermes Conrad from Futurama?
No. I'm gonna say Brody, but it's not Brody. It's Azrael. Limbo is where Azrael wanted to go in Dogma. Nothingness. That's Limbo to me. So I'm still going to call this out. You need to break up the monotony of fiery demons and eyeball soup in hell finding out the details about...
Don't even get me started on the laundry list of hell-adjacent dimensions and the devils that rule.
I know.
Them.
Yes, well.
There is, in Marvel, there is Belasco, there is Mephisto, there is Lucifer, there is Satan, there is Satanish, Belial, Beelzebub.
Satanish? Yeah, like it's a language?
No, it's an actual demonic entity in the Marvel cosmology.
Yeah, I know, but all I hear Satanish and all of Spanglish? What? How do you speak that? I don't want to know.
We could do
a whole podcast episode on the many models of hell that Marvel has.
But yeah, so they go to the Screaming Tower. They've got this little magical doohickey, which is a piece of Belasco's soul that we see in a flashback image where he just ganks his own chest. You know, it's essentially a demonic Werther's compass. Original.
Yeah. Ew. I was going to say compass, but you went to the kit. I could never eat Werther's again. Thanks a lot, asshat.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got, they get into the tower. They're using the soul as a compass. And Mary Jane's, I guess, in addition to getting a power, and they're not always the best, if you get a skull, you know, it's a less useful power. Two's worse. She's had that before, and she did have that in the Spider-Man comics, but she hasn't gotten three skulls, and...
Well, yeah.
She's telling Felicia all this because that's bad luck, and what does the black cat do?
Yeah, uh-huh. The black cat brings the bad luck.
And she says this thing, you know, that's a 1 in 343 chance, pretty good odds, but I have two kids, Felicia, and one bullet in 343 chambers is still a bullet.
Oh, yeah, it's still a bullet. I love that line.
And then they get charged by almost naked demonic cannibals.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I like the design of the one that's like this hunchback with a executioner's hood over his head. It just, for some reason, it made me laugh.
Like I said in the beginning of the podcast, I'm loving the art and the design and the characters. It's just the overall story. When we get to the end, you'll see why I'm disappointed with this story. But yeah, no, that design is just hilarious. That's fun. It's fun.
Yeah. And then Mary Jane spins and she can shoot feathers at them. And then he's like, wouldn't be so bad if you had the pudding power now, would it? And she's like, yeah, if I fed them pudding, they'd make me their queen. And they go over an edge because, you know, when you're running blindly through a demonic castle, who has time to pay attention to the directions on the wall?
Exactly.
And, you know, Felicia saves them, and we got Sim.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the cover, that the third J. Scott Campbell cover, which is Mary Jane terrassing around New York City with a taxi with Felicia on the hood, which, yes, would have been a really cool scene, but we didn't get it. We're moving on.
Unfortunately, yeah.
And I don't actually know what accent Sim has. I just imagine he's got some Bronx or Brooklyn-esque accent, because he's like, Earth Girls, huh? Intranister.
This time I was waiting to betray you. You were betraying back. You were betraying each other. Yeah, I don't know what kind of...
He does. The only disappointment I have with the writing in this entire miniseries, that not one time does Sim say use. Use
girls. Use girls, yeah. Yep. So we get to issue 4 here.
This is 3.
No, this is 4. We were just in 3.
No, this is 3. 3 is the issue 3 cover is the taxi cab.
Yeah. I thought we were talking about that the whole time. Oh god, I'm losing it, folks. Yeah, this is what we were supposed to be talking about the whole time.
Well, no, that last ramble about them going in the castle, that was all in 2.
Was it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm losing my mind, folks.
Yeah. So, yeah, they meet Sim. He's like, you're here for the sword. Yeah. Hey, the boss was smart sending Earth girls, and, you know, yada, yada. And I do like his bitching about it. It's like, first we'll ask who's originally from Earth, and then Ileana and Madeline. Why is it Earth people are always ruling Limbo? Why can't demons rule Limbo? I mean, the colonialism of it all.
That's funny. Yeah, Sim's a great character.
Yeah, and then Mary Jane's like, you're a demon, so what? Why should that bar you from public office? And I was like, my god, she's empathizing with Sim.
Exactly.
But, he gives them some specific details about why Belasco sent them, because the demons and all the bad guys outside, they're scared to enter the tower.
Yeah.
And they're basically, we see this big lineup, like they're all about to start rumbling, and it's they've just waiting for them to bring the sword out so they don't have to go in after it.
Yep.
And I like how, like you said, I haven't betrayed you yet. You were betraying me all. It's like, because don't worry, you probably won't end up having to fight them. And Felicia's like, why? Because I'll betray you and take the soul sword first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if the Guardian doesn't kill us. Wait, what?
Yeah, exactly.
And we get a fairly, I'd say it's an approximation of an Indiana Jones style search sequence as they climb through the castle and avoid pitfalls and
they actually have to save him at one point.
Yeah. And he saves them from like the heavy falling door, which I think at best is a reference to the, all we're missing is the giant rolling boulder.
Yeah. I see that, but all as I thought was the heavy door. That's a big door. I know this is not exactly Tron design here in the art and the interiors, but damn, can you imagine Mary Jane and Black Cat Tron design comic? That would be amazing.
I'm pretty sure I've seen an alternate cover with Black Cat in a Tron suit.
Nice.
There was a whole run. Mm-hmm. If Tron covers, I think it was back in like 2011 after Legacy came out.
Probably.
But yeah, so they get up over this thing. Mary Jane's trying to, rah, rah, we can do it to Felicia. And then she's like, yeah, thanks for the vote of confidence, but what the hell is that? And we get these like Cthulhu crows with eyes and venom tongues and they can talk. And I was just, it probably sounds like or something like that. And they just charge in and they all work as a team to beat up the crows.
Yep. And my, I see that panel now. And my first thought was if these crows were a little bit larger, they could be Tengu.
You want us to take another crack at it? How about you take another whack at it?
Whack at it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Woman with these big sticks, and she kept twirling them around and around. Oh, God.
Could have been Mariska Hargitay.
Could have been.
Yeah. So they smash the crows, but good. And I like how they end comics with lore drops like this to get the dun-dun-dun, where Sim says the Dark Gods didn't build the keep the soul sword safe. That's what the Guardian's for. The tower was to imprison the Guardian. And we've got a demonic graboid.
Yeah.
That's a Tremors reference, kids. Watch the movies.
Thank God they haven't rebooted that in a while.
Well, Kevin Bacon almost got a reboot off the ground starring him as Valentine McKee, but didn't happen. And I can only imagine that came about by him kicking open the doors to Universal and screaming, "I got a goddamn plan."
Probably.
So they run, and Mary Jane gets two skulls, and she's turns into smoke woman.
Yeah.
You know, you can make colored smoke.
Yeah, that's not...
No, that it's not exactly helpful. It has, that's about as effective as the DC supervillain The Mist, where she can make the smoke. She doesn't become the smoke. Like, The Mist literally turns into mist, and you can seep through cracks and doors and smother you and suffocate you and such like that. He was actually the, I think he was like the first supervillain that, well, after the pilot that Barry fought in the Flash TV series.
Right.
Because he was like the first guy they imprisoned in the pipeline. But yeah, Mary Jane figures out that... because Black Cat's powers have always worked with giving people bad luck that she sees as enemies.
Right.
And she subconsciously, because, you know, she's... still in love with Peter. Felicia still loves Peter. So she sees Mary Jane as a threat because Peter still loves Mary Jane. And throughout the current run of, you know, Amazing has constantly tried to get back with her, you know, even though she's with Paul right now. And Paul's a douche. We don't like Paul.
Yeah, we don't like Paul.
Although the logic that they use in the story, like, it's not the best written run of Spider-Man. I'm straight up saying that. But, like, they've had some, I think, some really cool stories. But, yeah, the whole reason that Mary Jane got with Paul, like, oh, yeah, Peter just, time moves differently. It's bullshit, and we're getting back to the story. But, yeah, so we end the third issue with Mary Jane realizing that, this is about Peter, isn't it? It's always about Peter, MJ. It's always about Peter. Peter's the responsible for every bad thing in the Marvel Universe. God, it's like you don't know him at all.
No.
And then we get this sweet alternate cover by Russell Dowderman, which I dig this. There's a lot of what-if style alternate Black Cat suits here. There's a few that are actual Black Cats from the Marvel multiverse.
Yeah.
Like, we've got the sweet costume of Most Chess Show right on the bottom there next to the Batman looking mask. If you go, what, like, got regular Black Cat right in the middle, just to the left of her, you got another classic Black Cat. The one with the, on the left with the chain belt and the stripes, I think that's from when she was trying to become a crime boss during the during Superior.
Yep.
The up in the upper right corner with the web design, that's from one of the Spider-Verse things. Center at the top of the goggles, I think, is actually it. There's over on the right the one with like the hash marks under her eyes, that's from the Marvel Mangaverse. The one with the yellow goggles, the very Selena looking goggles, that's Ultimate Black Cat. And then there's the Iron Cat in the back, which isn't an alternate. That's from a miniseries called Iron Cat, where Felicia stole a Iron Man suit from Tony.
And that's why Tony's in this.
Yeah, that's why he hung up on her in the first issue, because she still has that suit. Felicia don't give nothing back.
No, why should she?
Yeah. So I think I don't have the whole miniseries. I've definitely got the first, second, and fourth issues because I've got this variant cover, which is why I know all that. And I don't know for certain, but the dark-haired Felicia in the back is either an alternate Felicia or it's the Catwoman from the Just Imagine Stan Lee creating the DC Universe event. That's a show we got to do someday. Because it's really good. well, not good, good, but I, it was just awesome. Anyway, issue four, we've got the, I forget who did the cover on this one. I'm just looking at it now.
That's not J. Scott Campbell yeah, cover.
Unfortunately, we've run the gamut of the J. Scott Campbell.
Le Sigh.
Anyway, it's a decent art. I recognize that artist. I just can't find the name right now. And it's they're backed up against the wall in some alley, and there's a bunch of demonic thugs about to attack them is the best way to describe that cover. But we get back in, and the demonic graboid is become a hentai monster.
Mm-hmm.
There's tendrils and eyeballs and teeth. Oh, my. And I like this, how she's really Felicia. Peter, that's what this is about. Seriously, I'm not going to get back to my kids because you and Peter. And she's like, I wanted to tell you, I just couldn't find the time.
Yeah.
And he's like, Sim's like, oh, wow, I was waiting to betray you, but you were betraying each other. Earth women are amazing. Shut up.
Yeah, shut up.
And he's just got that smile. And he's like, hey, life is good. And Sim gets nuked by the graboid. I love the tentacle coming out of its trijaw mouth with the eyeball. Like, that's... Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that before. That's a pretty cool thing. Sim gets blasted. Felicia tries to, you know, make bust a move and get revenge. And what happens here? Oh, yeah. Felicia stabs it right in the eye.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's right. She does. That's hilarious. Like,
holy shades of James Gunn Suicide Squad Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives this god. I love that. That screonk. It's like, that's practically a Godzilla roar.
Yeah,
phonetically drawn out. And I love the moment that they have where she's like, I don't care. I have a life of my own. I've got kids. I'm mad at you because you didn't tell me.
Yep.
Because you let it hurt yourself. We're friends. What the F? And
yeah.
Felicia, you know, is like, oh, well, tell him goodbye for me, because she's about to be swallowed by this thing. And mm-hmm. Mary Jane pulls 3 7s.
Yep. 777.
And I'm going to say she has all, I don't know exactly what to call this power. She basically has the power of God and anime on her side.
Pretty much, yeah.
And she literally, because she resurrects Sim.
Yep.
And she's got the power to relight reality. So, like I said, the powers of God in anime.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they pretty much do.
Yeah.
Cover four, the main cover for issue four, according to my information here, Paulo Sequeira?
Sounds right.
Yeah, well, I would hope so.
Well, no, it's, like I said, it's... I know I've seen that art in like on the interior in a Marvel mm-hmm. comic. So, but yeah, so they have their makeup and Sim's like, hey, cool. I'm not dead.
Yep.
And so they hug it out and, oh, bitch, you know, and I'm sure somewhere in the back of both their heads, they thought F Peter. Because they're mm-hmm. tired of Peter's bullshit. And yep. Spider-Man does have bullshit. He's not a saint. But they get to the Soul Sword, which I have to say, I love its design. It is all kinds of anime. This is the sword that Skeletor should have when he took the power of Grayskull in that one animated series. And I'm not talking specifically about one, because he got the power of Grayskull in two different shows.
Uh-huh.
But he gets this this big, pardon my French, fuck off anime sword.
Yep.
And Sim's like, neither you magic. You don't got the training. Y'all going to be grafted to this thing for life. You can't give it to me. If you do that, you can't give it to Belasco. You'll be in charge of hell.
Yep.
There, I called it hell. Are you happy, Mike?
There you go. That's the right word.
So... They go to it's literally like, okay, Felicia, like you said, you got kids to get back, and then scene. And mm-hmm. they're walking out of the tower. Mary Jane no longer has the powers of God in anime on her side. Sim found another vest to wear, which got toasted before.
Yep.
And he's like, I can't believe you just did that. Well, what other choice do you have? And Mary Jean's like, you guys remember all that army of bad guys that were waiting to kick our ass?
Yeah.
Over here.
Yeah, they're kind of at the front door.
You imagine one of the demons is just waving, like Stitch, just hi.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
You know, this, by far, this is the friendliest, most family-friendly version of hell I have ever seen in a Marvel comic book, and I've seen a few.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's hell, but it's all right. It's not New Jersey.
It could be. You never know.
Yeah. And I think we got that, what did you say, Paolo Sequeira? I believe they did the art for this next one. What I don't like about the art in the comic thus far is in the mainline Spider-Man comic and other issues, especially in the, there's a, after a year or so after this, there was the gang war crossover in Spider-Man. It did spill out and it's in the part of the greater Marvel universe, but it's kind of a Spider-Man and Tombstone centric crossover. Every other artist draws Mary Jane's morpher like a morpher. The artist here, you know, Mr. Caratu, is drawing it like it looks like the time GPS from Endgame. You know, and yeah. I get that it's an artistic choice. And it's a fine one to talk about the size of something and the power it puts out. I mean, just look at the Green Lantern ring. But just, it's the Marvel and it's big and stuff like this is bombastic. And, you know, it's just a nitpicky thing. But yeah, when we go into issue 4, it starts with them walking back into Belasco's throne room. And he's like, so what? You left the Screaming Tower. Where's the gosh darn sword?
Okay, you mean issue 5, right? Because we
yes, I meant issue.
Okay,
see, you infected me with your brain rot.
No, Mike. I didn't do nothing.
First, I'm calling Limbo hell, and now I mistook which issue we're in. It's all Mike's fault.
Oh, it's not. It's never my fault.
Yeah, it couldn't possibly be your fault.
No.
Anyway, we get a flashback to them putting foot to ass against the army of darkness.
Yep.
And that's what I'm calling it, the army of darkness, patent pending.
Yep.
They ditched Sim outside the tower. They had Berserker Barney on their hands. You know, why do you think we kept this dumbass around for so long? They used him. It's all, like, they're acting all, Felicia especially is acting pretty cold. He's like, is he dead?
Yeah.
I don't care, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, I'm so, I love that. This is what I love. When I called it Ocean's 11 earlier, I meant that because Mary Jane and Felicia have this Clooney and Pitt-esque back and forth, like that. Just the camaraderie, the energy. Yeah. It's so good. And it's like, why Mary Jane? Whatever could you be talking? I'm glad you asked, Felicia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they spell it all out, and I love it when heroes do this.
Mm-hmm.
Where they spell it out and then bump, bump, bum, we got half each. And they basically get what I'm calling demonic Power Ranger armor. Because that that looks like one of the one-armed armor pieces from, what is the last one? Dino Fury.
Yeah, Dino Fury. Yep, yep.
And God, what a sour note for the franchise to go out on, I got to tell you. I was not a fan.
They'll reboot it finally after 30 years. Yes,
Cosmic Fury was hot garbage. But anyway, they've got demonic superpowers and sweet anime swords.
Yep.
And we find out that Mary Jane essentially used her powers of God in anime to make it so they don't get permanently bonded.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then you find out that I love the one page of you see them putting demonic foot to demonic ass.
Yep.
Like and when I say anime, literally. I mean, this is anime, man.
Yeah, it is. Very much so.
Also, is just me or is Mary Jane more attractive with horns and the armor? I think asking for a friend.
I think it's just you.
I said I'm asking for a friend.
I think it's just you.
But yeah, we get that. It's a two-page spread. It's you see the demon like on the far right side with the Hellboy horns. And he's like, yep. I think I left my pit of souls on.
Whoops.
Pit of souls, like he left the oven on. Like he's like, I gotta go home. Yeah. I got souls to torture, fiends to kill. And so they go back, they're about to jump Belasco, and we find out the deal they made with Sim.
Yep. And the deal they made with Sim is essentially Sim gets to take over.
Yeah. Or at the very least, he's now the Joe Biden to the Donald Trump that is Madeline. I'm sorry, it's a ham-fisted analogy. It's the best I could think of.
He's the
John McCain to George Bush.
Ooh, that's unfortunate, considering both of them are dead. Well, no, you didn't say...
W's alive, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, but you said George Bush, not George W. Bush. There's a distinction.
Well, I meant W. Anyway, Sim's now got the powers of hell and anime on his side, because he's got the sweet anime sword.
Yep.
And he's like, I like that. Well, let's see here. I've got all the money. I've got all the power.
Yep.
That makes you my bitch. And Belasco's like, oh, no.
Yep. Oh, no.
And I just like it when he's like, well, ladies, the deal's a deal. Here's your spell monkey portal.
Yep. And we get the portal and they go home. They go one final time swinging through the city. Mary Jane gets dropped off with her family. Her
loving family. I hate them all. Well, not really the kids, because I can't hate kids, but I hate Paul. We don't like Paul.
Yeah, Paul is very, very suspicious.
Paul is a walking bag of human garbage.
Yes.
And I do like the end of Belasco. I will have my revenge. And she's like, okay, love you. Bye-bye.
Yep, pretty much. So, yeah, Black Cat, Mary Jane Black Cat, Dark Web, the ending for this. I kind of wish we didn't end on, like, I wish there was one more page where Black Cat just swings off. Like, or we actually get to see her with Peter or something. Like, I wish that seeing Paul and the kids wasn't the final page of this. But we do have Black Cat stealing the Dr. Doom's mask. So
the mask of Dr. Doom. That is, like, the title of a miniseries or, like, Fantastic Four. The Mask of Dr. Doom. Like, a sequel title.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great. And I love how he wakes up in the morning and he is wearing Doom's hoodie.
Yep.
And I love how it's always like Doom, like Doom is Doom speak, like Doom commands. I don't know if the creators of Serpentor and G.I. Joe decided to ape that when they created Serpentor, but that Serpentor is stealing from Dr. Doom. And if you're going to steal, you steal from the best. But I like, even devices sleep when Doom commands it. Oh, yeah. And start the day with a minty fresh mask. And he's got what is essentially a denture jar by his bedside. And he puts his mask in. And Felicia is just like,
yoink.
Yeah. Instead of damn you, Richards, he's damn you, Richardsing at Black Cat, who then proceeds to steal Dr. Doom's time platform. And I guarantee you, by the time he runs down those stairs and gets to the lab, he's just going to be just a moment.
Yes.
Doom commands it. Doom is out of shape.
Yep.
And we get some cool nods to a Fantastic Four history where she lands on a pirate ship from like those early issues of Fantastic Four. I forget which one specifically. She goes back in time and meets Devil Dinosaur and Moon Boy.
Yep.
In free history, she goes back to the 30s and makes out with the Angel, who is this mystery man, crime fighter, doesn't have any superpowers, teams up with the Invaders, makes out with Shuri in Wakanda, I think. Yeah. Oh, no, wait, that's She is a Wakandan character, but I don't remember her name, but she's from a 1950s era team called the Monster Hunters. She made Kang the Conqueror her bitch.
Yep.
And then she goes to one of the requisite Marvel card games, and she did it to try and win a poker game because she, I'll raise you the mask of Dr. Victor Von Doom. And Mary Jane's like, it says made in Mexico.
Yep.
And I just like how this thing is just standing there like, this is going to be a thing.
Not that thing, but yes, a thing.
Well, it, not that thing, but a different thing.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things in the things world that are a thing.
That's right.
Well, Doom outsources? I would never. I mean, it's a real vulnerability when you okay, I fold.
That's right.
And I mean, I love the fact that it is this backup. It is of no consequence whatsoever to the story of Dark Web. It's just this fun aside. This is a return to when Marvel used to do end credit scenes in comic books. They did this a few years ago after the death of Wolverine, where he came back and he somehow had the time stone of the Infinity Gauntlet time stone.
Right.
And they had that, and it wasn't even tied into the story going in the issue. It's literally just an end credit scene. Like, I think Marvel's had a better track record with the end credit scenes in the comics than the movies. But, you know, we get so at a pinup, we get some cool alternate covers.
Yep, yep. Like,
that's one by Villebotes and Rosenberg, which I thought was Greg Land at first. Then they got David Nakayama, who I know from some other Marvel Mangaverse titles and some other things outside. And it's just, I agree with Peter. Hey, nice.
Yep.
You can see the powers of God in anime all over this comic. We got a Sakaran Rosenberg. We get some. We get a kitty cat. I like the one. Just the cat, like, meow, as she's reaching for the ball.
Yeah.
You get a couple of Adam Hughes monsterized covers, which are pretty gnarly. I don't know if it's pronounced AKA or AKA.
It's probably AKA, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. I can only imagine those kitties with the masks are named Peter and Parker.
Yeah, probably. That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, we get... I you know what? I didn't know there were Alex Ross variant covers, because I always love a good Alex Ross variant cover.
Yeah.
We get a fully painted Alex Ross, a pet sketch cover, Gomez and Abertov, who, I know that their art from somewhere. And then we get a classic Queen of Hearts style cover by Erica DeRusso and Romolo Ferrardo Jr. I hope I didn't butcher your name too much, sir. Yeah, I'd say that like the variant covers, like lately I've seen a lot of variant covers from Marvel. They're hit and miss at best. A lot of the variant covers here, they slap.
Yeah. Like,
they rock.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, 0 to 5 with half points. What are you going to give Dark Web?
I'm going to give it a solid 4. It's a completely contained story that's slightly adjacent to the main Dark Web storyline. Now, like I said earlier, you can have all the comics and read this series as part of reading the whole of the Dark Web of Ebb. There's a couple of issues where it ends naturally enough and starts naturally enough between two of the issues. I forget where exactly. You could just read this miniseries because it's not set in any specific point during Dark Web. So you could read it between issues and have a good time, or you can just read it separate and enjoy it as is. But yeah, it's a solid 4 all around, the art, the action, the powers of God in anime.
Yep. I'm going to give it a 3.5, only because I don't know. As we talked about it, I got to liking it more, but as I read it, I was like, I didn't really, and this is really sad for me, I didn't really start to like it until the 5th issue when they explained the ending kind of thing. I don't know. It was just weird, but 3.5 out of 5 isn't bad.
We're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. We'll come back to close the show right after this.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast.
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh, yes. Definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
All right, folks, we are back here inside the pull bag. This is episode 562. Any final thoughts from you before I run through the closing, sir?
Just a quick couple. Don't let any of my attitude when talking about Paul, we don't like Paul, dissuade you from reading Dark Web. It's not the best crossover, but I think it's a fun... You know, I miss when Marvel did crossovers like this just between two titles that don't become a huge MCU-wide thing. You know, a kind of a one-and-done in idea, if not in execution. So I would recommend checking it out. If you like X-Men, you like Spider-Man. It's fun. It's largely inconsequential to the greater Marvel cosmology. I say check it out. And, yeah, have fun, folks. Read awesome, more comics. Awesome.
That's right. All right, folks, thank you for joining us here inside the Pullbag. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are so ways to do so. Visit the website, the all-new, brand-new GeekCastRadio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@GeekCastRadio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcatching clients you choose to use. You can follow us on X at Geekcast Radio at the Pullbag. I am at TF2 and Mike. Do you X out, dude? I don't know.
I'm on X occasionally, but it's mostly responding to a few people and reposting when I podcast with TV's Mr. Neil, because me and Ben Carver. An unintended hiatus on Comic Connoisseurs. I'm not sure when we're going to be bringing that back. So, okay. But you can find me on most forms of social media at JT from Saskatoon.
All right. Very cool. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/GeekCastRadio. And we're going to also check out the Pullbag over there as well. Next time, JT will be back for a second episode in a row. I hope there isn't an exploding chip in anyone's head in this book, but... JJ,
there's going to be a lot of lens flares.
Well, I can handle lens flares. I just don't want the exploding chips. Thank you. JJ and Henry Abrams, Spider-Man Bloodline. We're only doing this because I'm curious what a JJ Abrams written Spider-Man book would be like, considering JJ's track record in film and television. Is it going to be more Felicity or is it going to be more Mission Impossible?
I prefer if it was more Alias.
Okay, then we can go with that. I can see Mary Jane in, skin tight red leather. That'll work. All right. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with...
Sorry, Mike threw me with that red leather comment and I had to picture that. JT from Saskatoon.
As always, make your greatest game to comics and we will catch you next time.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullBag and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.